On the phone with me, I have Vince Bayfield, who is the 2020 chairman of the board of the Greater Fort Walton Beach Chamber of Commerce. Also, Marcus Chambers, the superintendent of schools for Okaloosa County School District, recently elected, as everybody knows. Welcome, guys.
Hey, Dan.
How are you? Good morning. Is everybody doing well?
We are. Good. Absolutely.
Let's see now, Vince. Exactly why are you guys calling in today?
Well, we're calling in today to talk about the School Sense Makes Sense campaign, and we are trying to make sure that our schools are adequately funded and so that they can address all the capital needs they have. We're talking about things like roofs and HVACs and technology and security things that must be done. Literally, our schools are falling apart. And so as a, just an overview for some of the folks there, it is a half penny local option sales tax that will go for 10 years, and it can only be used for infrastructure needs. And there will be a citizens advisory council that will help oversee those projects. And we've published a complete needs list and all the projects out on our website at schoolsensemakessense.com.
Sounds good. And Marcus, just kind of curious, I guess you've been overlooking all these projects and you're wondering, okay, and not wondering, but you're probably racking and stacking to find out which ones you think will be the most beneficial in all the schools in Okaloosa County.
Well, so first of all, every school has a project list. And, you know, part of what I'm very proud of on the project list, it's not even necessarily, you know, what I want. It's it was a combination of a group called Jacobs Titan that manages a lot of our construction maintenance needs, as well as input from every principal, as well as school advisory council members as well. So, you know, a very detailed list created, you know, not a list of just wishes, but a whole bunch of needs.
Yeah, I know that you guys went through all the schools. I know Vince did, was doing the world tour of all the schools and was looking at them, and I guess everybody has figured out the biggest projects that need to happen in the schools, and that is what this is all about, is to try and fix the schools, maybe upgrade the schools. What are your thoughts on that, Vince? I know you've seen an awful lot of this, and it's all been racked. I shouldn't say racked and stacked. It's all been categorized, I guess, on the most need. What would you call it? The projects that need to be done first. Yeah.
Yeah, the things that need to be done first. I'll take a step back. You know, many, many years ago, and when I was a young engineer, I worked over for Delta BTG, which eventually is now Jacobs Titan. And that particular company, just to sort of provide a little visibility, does real property management for the Department of Defense. They go out and they look at all the military facilities, and they do this very thing. And they have a very mathematical model and a way that they go in with civil engineers and planners and estimators to go in and take a look at and evaluate, you know, the condition of buildings so that, you know, money can properly be allocated and get these things taken done. And in fact, I wasn't on the particular team that built the mathematical model, but I know the guys that did, and that has translated into something that we've got some of the top experts in the world at doing this type of thing. And so, you know, when we talk about the list, I mean, we're talking about things that are absolutely essential. And they rank order them. And then at some point, administration has to come in and take a look at it and say, okay, now they've ranked it, you know, based upon, you know, the best way to accomplish a project or stuff like that. But then, you know, at some point, executive has to sit down and make a decision and say, okay, we've got to do this one first. You know, this need is more important at this particular time. So I know they're working hard to do things the right way. We've got great people working in the county. And they want nothing more than to provide a safe and environmentally sound environment for our students and our teachers. They deserve it.
Absolutely. And Vince, could you give our audience some examples of things that need to be repaired in these schools?
Yeah, I mean, well, the first thing we've got to address is, you know, we've got roofs that are basically falling apart. If you go out to Get the Coast, there's some videos that have been done by Jared Williams, a reporter in the local area. He's gone through Choctaw High School. He's gone through Destin Middle School. He's gone through Edge. And you can look at it yourself. And if you look at it, I promise you, you will be absolutely appalled. I went to Choctaw. I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand, and it's terrible. It's not just roofs. It's also ACs. We've got sewage that's backing up into some of the classrooms. I know that Choctaw had a huge sewage problem where they had to route kids around, and they are doing their very best. But you can only you can only do so much.
Yeah, sounds like that would be a big project to redo the sewer system. Is that what you're referring to as redoing the sewer system at the school?
Yep, and then also on top of that, and we'll let Marcus talk to this, I know there was a mandate by the state because of the Marjory Stoneman Douglas shooting that requires the schools to institute mandatory security enhancements, and those are not fully funded from the state, and they have to implement these in post-haste.
No, absolutely, and Vince did a great job of kind of outlining, you know, some of the other needs. But safety is critical, and safety is a mandate from the state in terms of creating even more secure schools. So single point of entry is a term that we've talked a lot about over the last number of years. We have proactively started that process, but we have a number of schools that still need to have the single point of entry done. So with this half-cent sales tax, I think the safety of our school buildings, the safety of our students and our teachers and staff is paramount, and this would allow us to expedite the process of getting all of our schools done with single point of entry as well.
And there's other schools I know in the area that have multiple entrances just into the classrooms themselves. That must be a challenge on its own.
So it is. When you look at some of our ramp schools and with the thought in mind of making sure that they are as safe as possible, this is where the single point of entry becomes even more critical. You know, we want to make sure that the perimeter of our schools is secure, but also limiting the number of ways that individuals can get into the school once the school day starts. So some of our schools have it, but they're not single point of entry schools yet, because what you have to do is you have to make sure that the inside, once you enter, that the walls are hardened, the glasses are hardened to make sure that the school is safe. So if someone wanted to do harm coming into a school, they would not be able to have entry into the school building. So safety is one aspect of the goal of the half cent, as well as many of the other topics that Vince just mentioned.
Yeah, that makes sense too, sir, because of the fact, I think when people think about security, they're thinking about just having an individual there as a security guard, but you're talking about upgrading the glass, upgrading probably doors, things of that nature that's all going to cost money.
No, absolutely. You know, we're fortunate when you talk about the individuals, we're fortunate to have the best school resource officer program in the state and maybe even the nation, but there's so much more when you start talking about single point of entry or fencing, as well as there's many behind the scene items that have to be done that you're not able to speak of for security reasons. Mm-hmm. But there's a number of pieces that we need to continue to enhance in order to make our schools as safe as possible.
Understandable.
There's another area too, Dan, that we haven't talked about, and that's technology, which, you know, is near and dear to my heart. And
maybe just a little.
A couple years back. Yeah. A couple of years back, I was talking with one of the guys over at the county that runs the IT, and he was explaining to me that some of our schools, you know, we have the Okaloosa Metropolitan Network, some of our schools don't actually have fiber run out to them, and so they're still running on old DSL in some cases. In some cases, they don't have, top-of-the-line computers. Even computers that in our business I would have already thrown away and deprecated. They've got hand-me-downs, overhead projectors, instructional things like that that make a huge difference in the way that you operate and run a classroom. They simply don't have the budget for it, and that's for some of these types of things as well.
Understandably, so that the teachers, I guess, and the students are all working off of pretty much outdated equipment, it sounds like.
Yeah, and you know, like a building and like, you know, a number of your car, you know, as things get older with age, you can try to continue to repair them, but eventually they come to a point where it's too costly to repair. You know, this is why most, you know, organizations, large size when it comes to technology, rip and replace at 5 years. It's pretty typical, even now with laptops and mobile devices and the way technology is changing, in some cases that's down to 3 years. And so trying to keep pace and you know, keep all the software and the networks and all that moving is a very daunting task. And it's a capital intensive task.
With that, Vince, speaking of technology, would that also mean the wiring would have to be replaced in the schools to be able to handle all of the new technology?
Yeah, in some cases. I mean, when we were over at Brunner, I was looking at how they were patchworking and trying to get some wireless up inside of the schools. And to me, I looked at that and said, you know, they're doing the best that they can with what they got. But remember, you know, you've got to go fish all that line down through there. You know, in the time that you know, in the last 20 years, we've had three different types of wiring that you go to. I mean, I remember all the way back in the token ring, BNC connectors, and then we went to Cat 4, Cat 5, and now we're at Cat 6, and then on top of that, it's got to be, you know, fire rated and a number of other things. So, you know, going back and through and running all that line, it's not cheap and it's difficult, and it's a daunting task.
Do you think that's presented a bigger problem now that kids went back in the spring when all the kids had to do work from home? That must have put quite the pressure on that equipment.
Well, I'm sure it did. I can let Marcus talk to this, but I just want to say one thing. They did one hell of a monumental job, you know, getting laptops out to students, Chromebooks and things like that, making sure people had hotspots. I just, you know, I got to pat them on the back. I mean, it was unprecedented, you know, to be able to put that together. And my hat's off to them. That's a logistics feat and coordination feat that, you know, rivals what the military has to do. The only difference is that these folks did it with a lot less money.
Well, and I'll even go back to the original question dealing with technology. And one of the things I say to people all the time is, you know, we're fortunate. We have one of the top-rated school districts in the state of Florida. Currently, we're ranked number 4 in the state of Florida academically. We've been as high as number 2 academically. And I always say, imagine, just imagine what we could do even more so with some more up-to-date equipment. And I'm not talking about luxury items, but when you look at some of our technology, you know, we have overhead projectors, we have document cameras, and these types of equipment are good, but they're even becoming outdated. When you see a number of schools, when they're being built, you will see flat screen interactive devices that teachers are utilizing to help kids learn, to engage students. And right now we've piecemealed some of that, you know, based on, you know, whether school board members have helped with certain purchases of those items. But we do not have that across the board like some places have. Then you start looking at what this pandemic has brought out. When you start looking at your ability to educate students online, we had what was called Okaloosa Online before, and we maybe had 400, 500 kids online, but now we have over 7,000 students online to date. And when you do that, when you start talking about bandwidth or you start talking about your ability to synchronously bring students into a classroom that are at home and learn, well, there's a lot of technology that's needed within a classroom in order to do that. Right now, unfortunately, we don't have that technology to be able to do it. So technology is also a part of this half-cent campaign, and it's something that could do our students and our teachers very well.
Think about what that does, Dan, for the workforce of tomorrow, right? If they're using antiquated technology, and they come out in the workforce, what does that mean for employers that have to train? You know, we have this problem in the corporate world, and we've been addressing it where, you know, some of the kids that are coming out, they've got better technology at home than some companies do in their corporations. And corporations are realizing that, hey, you know, if we want to keep and retain this talent, you know, we've got to do this. Well, that starts also down at the schools. When the kids have got better technology at home than they have in their classroom, you know, what does that mean for their ability to utilize that technology in an educational setting and then take it out there and apply it into the real world?
That's a very good point, Vince. But what about the kids that don't have the technology at home and all they do know is what they get at school?
And I think that's where the technology is even more important. And you start looking at least what we're doing here in Okaloosa County. You know, we want the technology to start at the elementary level, so there's a true pipeline from elementary all the way to high school. But we don't even want to stop there. We want that pipeline to actually go from elementary to the workforce. So whether you're talking about the type of technology in a classroom that helps with instruction, or even the technology that students can utilize through coding. So, for example, coding is something that we're looking at broadening from the elementary level all the way through high school and even to companies in our local area, and we kind of call it a community of code. So how can we become even better with technology to help with instruction but also help prepare our students for the future?
Right. What about, you know, because I was just thinking, what about those kids that are going to go through high school, graduate high school, maybe not go to college or not even a technical school, trying to get into the workforce? If they have leading technology that they're working with in high school, I would think that would benefit them when they go into the workforce.
Absolutely. And I would say that, you know, we have a huge need for science, mathematics, and engineering folks in the corporate world and, you know, in the workforce. And, you know, those kids get that spark when they start early. If you turn them on to technology, things like coding, you know, utilizing those types of tools, that translates as they go through from kindergarten all the way to high school, and then maybe they go to college or maybe they go out into the workforce and apply that technology. It's absolutely critical.
Absolutely. Yeah, that gives the kids a lot better advantage, I would think, when they go into the workforce, if they've been working with equipment that's updated and current versus antiquated equipment, even though the schools are doing their very best to keep the technology as high as they possibly can with the funds that they have. You bring funds into the program and update everything, and the kids are able to learn on more modern and updated and current equipment and software and everything. I would imagine that is a benefit to everybody.
Absolutely. So, Marcus, I wanted to ask you, you know, how do you think that the condition of the schools affects the teachers and the students in terms of you know, what does it mean to them?
Well, absolutely. I always say our maintenance and facilities group, they work really hard, and they work really hard to maintain the facilities that we have. But the fact is 61% of them are 50 years of age or older, and 75% of our facilities are 45 years of age or older. So when you're in a classroom and there might be a leaky roof, or when you're in a classroom and the air conditioning isn't working, or you're in a classroom and the flooring isn't what it should be, or even the classroom setup isn't what it should be, it's sometimes it can be disheartening. But, you know, our teachers are strong, resilient, so are our students. But I always just say, you know, what do we want the next generation of Okaloosa schools to look like? Right now, you know, November 3rd, there's a big decision in terms of what will the next 20 years plus of our school district look like? What's going to be the direction? And I always go back to as well, we have in Okaloosa County, we have some of the best students in the state of Florida who go on to do great things. We have some of the best teachers and staff and principals in the state of Florida. Just imagine what could happen if we weren't worried about, you know, facilities, if we weren't worried about air conditioning. Over at Fort Walton Beach High School, the example I give, we've been fixing their air conditioning system for over 5 years because we don't have the funds to fix it all in one fellow swoop, or a roofing project over at Niceville that you got a piecemeal as well, but $1.3 million just to fix a few roofs, but you can't do it all in one piece. So there's a sense of pride when you have a school building that doesn't have just some of these areas that need to be fixed, but there's a sense of pride when you can go to your school knowing that even the basics are gonna work each day.
Good point.
The interesting thing is every time I drive down over to Panama City and I see Dune Elementary School, it's beautiful. It's state of the art. I've been inside of it. It's incredible. And I thought, holy cow, wouldn't it be nice if our students could have, you know, a similar facility? How would that facilitate the learning environment? How much better would we be able to go from there?
I was fortunate yesterday. I went over to Walton County yesterday, just visited a few schools. And the elementary school that that Vince just mentioned, when you walk into that school building, from the front office staff to the teachers to the principal, you know, they are so proud of their school. And it's just one of the many new schools that they've built over there and that they have the ability to build over there because of the capital dollars that they have and because of the millage, the voted-in millage that they've received.
And you know, the last time we spend a lot more money per student, don't they?
They do, you know, and we kind of like to look at that cost in a 5-year period. But you look at Okaloosa County, and one of our most recent allocations, we spend about $237 per student on capital, whereas over in Walton County, probably 10 times that amount is spent. And sometimes people ask why. Mm-hmm. Where in Okaloosa County, we receive about $30 million of new revenue in capital each year, but we have 32,000 students. Walton, $30 million as well, but they have 9,000 students plus a $9 million millage. So they have almost $40 million. We have $30 million. They have 9,000 students. We have 32,000 students. So they're able to do a lot more with the dollars that they receive.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, Dan, the other thing, too, is that the last time we did this was 25 years ago, 1995, and we've built three new schools since then. We built Destin Middle, Antioch, and one other in the north part of the county.
And something you bring up there, Vince, is the fact that this was brought up 25 years ago. I believe it went for 4 years, 3 or 4 years, and it did sunset, and it was never brought up again. So there's people that sometimes get a little bit concerned that if we bring up a new tax increase, which would take effect on January the 1st, I take it, for 10 years, it would sunset after 10 years. Some people feel like, well, they'll never do away with the tax. But if they look back 25 years ago, the mission was accomplished that they brought the tax increase for, and it did go away.
No, absolutely, and I'd say we would be fortunate if we are fortunate enough to receive this half cent for 10 years. That would be our focus, would be the 10-year period and doing all that we can within there, and then whatever happens after the 10 years happens. But our focus is on this 10 years and what we can do with the money to get our schools in the position that they need to be in, as well as allowing us to prepare for future growth that we know is on the horizon.
I think the students of Okaloosa County and the parents and grandparents of all the students should be fortunate that they have people like yourselves that are fighting to make the increase and to upgrade and update the schools that our students all attend, because it's only for the best possible school and education and experience for these kids.
We agree 100%.
And it's good. By the way, this is a referendum that's going to be on the ballot on November the 3rd, and it is School Sense Makes Sense. So when you see that referendum, we urge you to vote yes on this, because the kids and the school district, all the schools, the teachers, the students, everybody benefits from this. The community benefits from this. And like yourself, Vince, you talked about it before. Employers benefit from this because the schools look are better and they're more appealing for people to move down here in high-paying jobs.
I agree, Dan, 100%. You know, I think you've heard me say a couple of times that schools are actually economic drivers. And I've talked to other business owners that have had a tough time recruiting people to come to the area. And I can tell you firsthand that we've experienced that as well. I spoke with Tim Bulldog, who is the city administrator up in Crestview. He told me that they had three doctors that they needed for the north end of the county that they lost in terms of trying to get them here because of the condition of the schools. And so this is a problem that is a community problem. And we want to make sure that this gets addressed and that our schools are adequately funded and that we, you know, raise the standard of living and the benefit for everybody here in Okaloosa County.
Agreed. Well, guys, we're out of time. Again, it was Vince Mayfield, the 2020 chairman of the board of the Greater Fort Walton Beach Chamber of Commerce, and Marcus Chambers, the superintendent of schools for Okaloosa County School District, talking about School Sense Makes Sense. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you coming on the show this morning.